Chris Evans, Ben Cooper, John Holmes and the O'Connell twins, Paddy and Christian, are just a few of the voices in this week's podcast. We're at the relaunched and remodelled Radio Festival. We'll hear more about Richard Curtis's international initiative Radio Everyone, and we'll find out why the BBC local station for London is changing its name again.
The Radio Today programme, with Broadcast Bionics, creators of Phonebox and Oasis. Welcome to the Social Studio.
You found the Radio Today programme, and I found the British Library, which is on the Euston Road, next door to a very beautiful building called St Pancras Station. And it isn't that beautiful, is it? Paddy O'Connell's here, Gloria Album Office here, and the reason is because we've been at the Radio Festival Showcase, a one-day event, and Gloria organised it, and Paddy introduced it very expertly, I thought, from the stage. How do you think overall it went, Glo?
I think it was actually brilliant. And it's very rare for me to be really, really happy. I'm so happy because it had lots to do with Paddy, and I know he hates me saying this, but he so skillfully hosted his way through it. He was funny, he was a sort of anarchic, he was a bit sort of irreverent, which is exactly what I wanted. But also, because the reason why I'm really happy is because I think we truly reflected the diversity in the industry. We were fair in terms of the BBC and commercial and the indie sector. Also, what I tried to do in the day was show that actually we're all working quite well together. You know, there is actually a bit of love in the room, there's a bit of warmth.
I thought, oddly enough, even though it was smaller, the fewer people than there used to be, certainly one day, I know there was TechCon yesterday, but that played to its strengths, didn't it?
Well, I think the public are loving live events. They're even going to the cinema to see live events that are happening in other places, like the Royal Albert Hall or even the Battle of Britain thing in Biggin Hill Hangars. So why can't we, who are members of the public and also work on the radio, go to a live event? I think you've got to make it relevant, but you've got to make it interesting, challenging, got to hear voices you don't normally hear. And sometimes it's a bit boring because it's not your area of specialism, but you've got to believe that you will be entertained and informed in front of people who really matter. So they had some great calibre of guests.
Well, Glo did very well, didn't she, by not having lots of panels.
Oh,
that was that was a great thing. Highlights for you then, Paddy. Well, what would you pick out?
Okay, well, content. I mean, Jamie Cullum was booked in 6 days to promote a digital pop-up. He said yes. Then we overtook the British Library. Nicky Pattinson, at the end of the day, name-checked how he changed everyone's energy, which he did. Zane Lowe, we heard from. Chris Evans, a rare interview. You know, also some very powerful female speakers. Janet Street Porter, who personally is a heroine of mine, nailing it to the BBC.
What did you think of Zane and Ben Cooper having a hug, Glo?
I know why you're asking me that question, because I think you saw me crying. I was just so emotional. I mean, first of all, you know, I just get very emotional. But just that moment, you know, when Ben gave Zane the gift, which was a Radio 1 logo, but personalised, and I could see Zane was really choked up, and I started to cry. And I think it's because it was real. So often, festivals are about performances. So people sort of breathe and then they perform. Whereas I think Zane and Ben, it was just a very real chat between the two of them. And I thought it was lovely. It was probably one of my highlights.
One theme I would pick out is that whereas in the past we were always a bit sniffy about non-broadcast audio, seems as though our industry has completely, finally embraced online, on-demand, streaming, podcasts, all that stuff. Is that your sense, Paddy?
Well, certainly there was a very powerful call from the 17-year-old today who was later referred to as the young person. But I think there was a lot of people saying radio boxes will be dead and all that. But there was a very striking booking, which was Max Grafe from Radio Everyone, who travels the world putting up FM transmitters in the right places. And actually, it's a bit of a secret, Trevor, you won't like this, but many people in the UK love FM still. And, you know, around the world, FM we could hear could be transported in a suitcase. And, you know, when they turn the internet off, we'll all be looking for people like Max Grafe to turn it back on again, turn the FM back on again. So I took a lot of competing things away. I get most of my work from Radio 4, and there was a very harsh critique of Radio 4 to listen to today, and the posh people on it like me. So I was criticised, I felt it. Then I heard some interesting things about skills that I respect, storytelling, veracity, challenging people. And also, to be honest with you, I always run to time. If you hire me, I'm on time and I'm in time. Some of our colleagues need to learn the basic message. If you're hosting a session, don't be late, don't turn up late, and don't overrun. It makes me furious. So actually, I've got a lot to say, Trevor, and
you should never have pointed
a microphone.
Are you saying this because you're anxious to get to the bar and I'm keeping you here doing the Radio Today podcast?
If you hire radio people to present at a radio festival, if they overrun, they should be sacked and have their microphones removed.
I totally endorse that.
Let's just lighten up. And let me ask you this. What next for the Radio Academy? I know you're not its interim chief exec anymore. But
today's my last day.
Today's your
very
last day.
Very wise.
Okay,
no.
Where do we go? Will there be, do you think, will this event happen again next year? Okay. Are we having the Christmas dinner? What's going on?
You're having the Hall of Fame. You're going to have festivals. I think this event was to show a different style of Radio Academy. It was about, it's a lot more inclusive, less bosses, a lot more about the membership. We gave out a lot more bursaries, a lot more about partnerships. It was about a relationship with the British Library, because we're going to get a lot more involved. Oh, sorry, we, Radio Academy, are going to get a lot more involved in Save Our Sounds. So the spirit of today will actually grow a lot more, and you'll see a very different spirit within the Radio Academy. Roger's going to be very much about the bottom line as well.
This is Roger, the new MD, Roger Cuts.
The new MD, who's just fabulous, because he's quite different. And you and I have discussed this, and you've interviewed him. And I remember in your Radio Today podcast, you said, we'd never heard of you. Who are you? And I think that's part of the reason why he was appointed, because you hadn't heard of him, and he doesn't come with a history. And he comes with a fresh approach, a new approach. Not that you, me, John Myers were wrong. It's just that we were of that time, and Roger will be of his time.
Final question to Paddy. Have you enjoyed it?
Yes, I have enjoyed it. I've got a headache, and I've always loathed the Sony Awards. I can't bear the award ceremonies. I think they're sort of glad fest for the smug. And I've sat through hours and hours of the awards, never winning anything, I might add. And a few years ago, I said to my friends and colleagues, please never, ever enter anything of mine for an award. It doesn't deserve to win, but I can't bear the radio, the face of the radio industry when it's backslapping itself. I really can't stand it, but I can bear it when it's challenging its fundamental concepts. Who are we broadcasting to? On what? Who's paying? What's the relationship between the compulsory tax of the license fee to hard-working businesses? And all you can do in one day is try and expose all of us to the fact that we know those are real subjects and give people airtime, and the fabulous people in the room listened so intently. So I felt it, you know, there was a lot there. It's exhausting, and some of it was quite good.
Paddy O'Connell and Gloria Abramoff talking to us at the Radio Festival. Throughout the day, Stuart Clarkson and the rest of the Radio Today team were busy stalking some of the speakers. Here's a sample of what you can find at radiotoday.co.uk. First up, Chris Evans.
Chris, you said on stage you're happier than you've ever been. What's making you so happy at the moment?
You know, I've got a wonderful family, healthier than I've been for a long, long time. Got a great job, feel like I'm in the right place. Got some amazing projects to work on. Brilliant people around me from the past, present, some new kids on the block. I'm just in the perfect position.
And the big question that Paddy asked you is how you're going to juggle everything, but you've said actually it's quite staggered. It's not all happening at once. So we got TFI, we got Top Gear, and the biggest radio show in Europe. You can manage all that together?
Well, the whole point about it is, I mean, I've been writing a book for the last 6 months. Nothing takes more of your attention and time than writing a book. And that finishes this week. So to be honest, once that's gone, you know, everything's so much easier. Back in the late 90s and 2000s, you know, I had a massive company with 200 people working for me. That's quite busy, you know, and a lot of that involves things that you don't really want to do. You know, board meetings, you know, financial meetings. And this is all stuff I do want to do. So the more you like the stuff you're doing, the less it seems arduous anyway.
And I guess all these big things you're doing, like the big new TV show, is the logical next chapter for the next book, isn't it? So it's all material.
Oh, not chapter. I mean, there's a book there. This is the next tome.
Absolute's breakfast presenter Christian O'Connell delivered a very funny insight into listeners' complaints.
I had a lot of stage fright about today. I get very, very nervous about doing stuff like that. It's not a normal gig. It's not stand-up. It's in front of your peers. It's a brightly lit room, and there's all your bosses, past bosses, and maybe future bosses in the room. And that, it's not a normal audience, and you really are you know, you can see them. Like, my word, that's my boss. He'll be really careful about what I say. That's my boss's boss. He'll be more careful about what I say. So, but I'm glad it went well. I was so nervous. I was regretting even doing it. But I loved it. It was good fun. I think a lot of people know that there were too many complaints, and there is a fear culture as well in broadcasting and radio in this country. People are worried about losing their jobs or what they say, and I think that's it's quite a damaging thing, actually. I don't set out to be offensive, but people will get offended, you know, because people get offended about, you say something innocuous about cats, and they're demanding you're fired. Now, they don't just complain, they demand that you're fired, that you lose your livelihood, and it's like, get a life. You know, we listen too much to these idiots who waste our time, really.
Another breakfast man who knows a thing or two about complaints is John Holmes, recently displaced by Chris Moyles, but still on Radio X at weekends.
You've done your first weekend on Radio X. How was it?
Yeah, well, good, actually. First Ofcom complaint on the new radio station was me, so I'm quite pleased with that.
And what can you tell us what that was for?
Very little, I imagine, at the moment. I think it was from Chris Moyles, just complaining.
I mean, it's only been a week, but are you missing being on the radio every day?
No. The most difficult thing about not being on the radio every day, specifically last week, which was my first week not on the radio, was when David Cameron had some sex with a dead pig. And it was like, well, of all the days not to be on the radio. So I had to bottle it all up and just explode with that over the weekends, which was hence the Ofcom complaint.
Good morning, Ofcom, yeah. And I suppose it gives you more time to do some of the other stuff that you do, because you run a production company, you do the Now Show and those kind of things.
Handily, I've got a book out, A Portrait of an Idiot as a Young Man, available on Amazon. So I'm doing literary festivals at the moment, so I'm going all over the country, it's quite nice.
I'm with Ben Cooper, the controller of Radio 1 at the Radio Festival. You're on stage with Zane Lowe just now. You seem like you really missed the bloke.
Yeah, Zane and I go well back. I knew him before he joined Radio 1 over a decade ago. And we used to have conversations about music and radio, etc. And so, yeah, it was great to see him. Haven't seen him for a couple of months. And so, yeah, it's good to catch up and actually have a proper conversation.
At the time when Beats 1 was announced, Radio 1 seemed publicly to be a bit worried or concerned about it. Are you worried now you've heard it and now you've seen what it's like?
I'm not worried. I think hopefully we can be complementary. Hopefully we might even work together in the future. I think we're both ambitious and we both love music, and so that's enough to start any relationship, I think. The great thing is with Radio 1, it is almost local radio for the UK. We have all of those assets that you and I would recognise from our early days of growing up in local radio, whether that be ILR or local BBC radio. It's that sense of community, it's a sense of the zeitgeist, it's a sense of a collection of a community together. And that's what Radio 1 can do in the UK for young people, about playing the music that they love or talking about the things that they care about. And so I think that's why we're complementary, because, you know, Beats 1 is a global radio station.
And another one of your former protégés, Chris Moyles, launched his new show last week. Have you heard any of it yet?
Do you know what? I forgot to listen on the first day. I woke up and I was like, I got a couple of text messages going, oh, you've just been mentioned. I was like, it's today, isn't it? I tried to listen on the website and I couldn't get that going. Apparently, he managed to crash the internet or something like that. So I have yet to listen, but I wish him all the very best, because he's a good man and he's glad that he's back on the airwaves.
And it was really heartwarming to hear Zane Lowe's ringing endorsement of the BBC and the role of public service music radio. This is the Radio Today programme. I'm Trevor Dan. Still to come, Radio London and Radio Everyone. After the news from Roy Martin.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Thank you, Trevor. Thank you, Paddy and Gloria as well. This week, the Radio Academy has awarded 4 new fellowships. They go to Steve Parkinson from Bauer, he's the Group MD, Alison Winter from the BBC, consultant John Dash and UTV Media's Jimmy Buckland as recognition for their work for the Academy. BBC London 94.9 is rebranding on October the 6th to BBC Radio London. The station is holding a special day of programmes on the day itself, looking back at its 45-year history. And John Holmes, Tiny John Holmes, stars in a mildly amusing video about the future of radio and DAB. See it on our website right now. It's worth 10 minutes. That's the very latest from radiotoday.co.uk. I'm Roy Martin.
Piers Bradford, ex-commissioning editor of BBC Radio 1. I was just joking with you that for the first time you've got a real job. Radio Everyone, crikey, that's been a difficult challenge.
It's been an amazing challenge, yeah. I've been working on this since January, trying to get the next set of UN global goals famous across the world, using the power of radio, amongst other things, to do it.
You've started already. What have you achieved so far?
Well, we've put together a network of broadcasters from around the world. We've got over 600 radio stations taking part. We're in over 75 countries around the world. We've got some enormous groups like Deutsche Welle, the German version of the World Service, CBC in Canada, ABC in Australia, Rai in Italy, all taking part and sharing the message of the global goals around the world.
Why radio?
Well, radio is still the world's most accessible medium. So what we want to do is to harness that power. 95% of the world's population can access a radio signal. So we've worked really hard to try and put together a proposition that works for radio stations, whether they be community radio stations in Tanzania or some of those huge global groups that I mentioned earlier.
I guess it's been quite difficult to sell it to everybody. It's just a wide range of clients you've had to approach, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you're trying to sell a brand new initiative about quite a complicated proposition. So, you know, this set of global goals, they've been signed up to by every world leader. They're a plan for the planet for the next 15 years. But the weird thing is, traditionally, no one knows that they exist. So they've just been agreed in New York this week. And our motivation is, we think that everyone on the planet should hear about these goals that all of their leaders have signed up to. And the goals say that they're going to set out to try and end extreme poverty, bring an end to injustice and inequality, and start to fix the effects of climate change over the next 15 years, which is kind of a really aspirational place to be. So the more people that know about these goals, the more likely that leaders are to sort of feel the pressure to enforce them.
Are you any more sympathetic to all the people who had to pitch to you when you were a commissioning editor?
I think I've always been quite a good listening ear. Tried to build on people's best bits and make them better. But yeah, I mean, the challenge of selling something in is definitely a skill to be learned.
Well, we wish you every success. What's the next thing after Radio Everyone, though?
I think now that there's a commitment that we'll revisit these global goals every 12 months. So there was a big gig in Central Park that Chris Martin curated. He's committed to curating that for the next 15 years. David Cameron at the weekend committed to having a UK event annually to sort of check in on the progress of the goals. So I think the wider project, the Global Goals Campaign, will tick over for the next 15 years.
Good luck, Piers.
Thanks, man.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
So, Dave Robey, it's all gone full circle. It was Radio London, then it was GLR, then it was BBC LDN, then it's been all sorts of things, hasn't it? You've been BBC London 94.9 for a long time. Now you're going to be Radio London again. Why?
Well, it's the logical name to be, and you know, frankly, I've always believed we should be that. Radio London is the name that sums it up, or BBC Radio London, in terms of what we do. For various reasons we can't go into, we weren't able to use that mark over the last 10, 12 years or so, trademark issues, but we now are able to do that, so it's taken a long time to kind of go back to the future, if you like.
Why have you made a big thing about it? Because in a sense, people do call it Radio London, don't they? Why didn't you just, as it were, wake up one morning with a new jingle package and just call yourself Radio London again?
Well, I suppose, you know, when you're doing something which you feel means a lot to you, you want to make something of it. We're not making a huge amount of it. I mean, we're not having a big launch day. We're not having ribbons and balloons or anything like that. We're just having a day of program celebration, which coincides with the 45th anniversary of the launch of the original Radio London. And Tony Blackburn, who's the man who worked on both, and indeed the one before that out in the North Sea. You know, it just felt like an opportunity to have a bit of fun, celebrate it, tell the listeners. So, as you say, I've read some of the blogs and they've said, well, it's always been called Radio London, isn't it? And they have on air, but we've not been able to. So it's just a nice thing to just make a little bit of fuss about.
I guess you're probably the longest serving manager of whatever it is, aren't you?
I must be getting close there. Yeah, I mean, 15 years of BBC London Live. Do you remember that one as well?
There's one I missed.
A blink of the eye. Yeah. And then BBC London, which then became for a bit LDN, but only in Brandington. Yeah, 15 years plus. So
are you any clearer to knowing the answer to the question that always defeated me when I was running GLR, which is, what is local radio for London?
Well, it might take me another 15 years to answer that. I reckon we're getting close to it. I mean, the feeling that, and particularly with the positioning of the local stations in London now, with some of the commercial brands going national, I think it's clearer than ever. We are about everything that happens in London, from hard news to music to comedy to, you know, if you look at the difference between Vanessa's programme and Robert Elms's programme, very different in terms of content, but actually a connection in terms of knowledge, of depth of coverage of London. So, you know, it's that one thing. I remember being asked 10, 12 years ago by the famous marketeers, you know, can you sum it up in three words? And I said, no, I can't. You know, if you want to say it's everything that London is, fine, but that's not a great marketing phrase. But maybe it kind of sums it up. And we've become more and more London as the years have gone by, I think.
I think the challenge always is that London is so big and so diverse, and that also the networks obviously are on your patch, so they're stealing your people all the time. A local MP to you is a national figure to Radio 4 and to everyone else. That's always difficult, isn't it? What I was going to ask you about, though, was David Holdsworth's current thinking about reintroducing personalities and so on. In a way, you never abandoned that, did you? As BBC, whatever you were, London, you always kept faith with characters and personalities on air.
Yeah, and I've believed in that through my 30 years in the BBC, you know, going right back to my original mentor, Tony Inchley at WM, who majored on personality at Leicester, Manchester and Birmingham, and Ed Doolan, you know, typically Malcolm Boyden, people like that, Tony Butler at WM, were great personalities who totally reflected their areas and then presented the content accordingly. And I've always believed that, whatever the strategies have been in between, and we try to reflect those, of course, but, you know, without personality, you don't have radio.
Just one final question about your name change and back to the announcement of it. You've made this comical video parody of what itself is a parody. I described it on Twitter as risible. John Simons described it as brilliant. Which of those would you go with?
I think my performance was risible. Tony Blackburn was brilliant. Yeah, right, look, it was a bit of fun, made in-house, an idea. How can we get people talking about this in a light-hearted way at zero cost? We just shot our own video in-house. It seems to have attracted a bit of attention, and that's all you want to do in life, really, isn't it? Get you know, the things you're doing noticed.
Dave Robey, thanks for talking to Radio Today.
Thanks, Trevor.
Broadcast Bionics, creators of Phonebox and Oasis, offer you elegantly integrated products and intelligent one-stop shopping for all your studio needs. Discover a full range of innovative studio products. Play out by Wide Orbit, Music Master Scheduling, Stirlitz, Newsboss, Larvo, Telos, Axia, Omnia, Digigram and Commotion. Visit bionics.co.uk today.
It's 2 years this week since a dream came true for one famous BBC name.
But first on Sports Report, it's the classified football results, and I am delighted to say that we welcome Charlotte Green.
Barclays Premier League. Aston Villa 3, Manchester City 2. Fulham 1, Cardiff City 2.
I have always wanted to read out the football results.
Oh, have you?
Ever since I was about 6 years old. That's something I would love to do.
Charlotte Green, it was all change at the BBC this famous week in 1967. The old home, light and third made way for radios 1, 2, 3 and 4.
And this is the end of the home service for today and for all days. In one sense, I suppose we're like a bride on the eve of her wedding. We go on being the same person, we hope, but we'll never again have the same name. Tomorrow at 6:35 a.m, we become Radio 4.
Well, there we end broadcasting in the Light Programme, not just for today, but, as it seems, forever. The Light Programme, that is, as it's known now, is closing down. But in only a few hours' time, the BBC with Paul Hollingdale will open up on 247 metres and 1500 metres and VHF. And then at 7 o'clock on 247 metres, Tony Blackburn will open and swing into our new Radio 1 network.
And with the creation of Radio 1, a flurry of new presenters were tried out.
One of the most incredibly beautiful records, I think. Top Gear will be bringing you all the best artists and the nicest sounds around. But that is one of the nicest you'll ever hear. By Nirvana. It's called Pentecost Hotel.
John Peel's first appearance on Radio 1 on Top Gear with Pete Drummond, co-hosting this week in 1967. The third programme edged gently then into a new Radio 3 that week. A third programme which had been launched this week in 1946.
The Home Service is available to about 95% of the population. Coverage of the light programme is about the same figure, 95%. Had our original plan for the third programme remained possible, we should have opened tonight with about an 80% coverage. As it is, we have to start with nearly half the listening population uncovered. Problem isn't an easy one, but I want to make it clear tonight that our efforts will unceasingly be directed towards solving it. And while we will do all we can to improve the coverage on medium wave, we're pressing on with our plans to develop frequency modulation.
The launch of the BBC's third programme.
This is the BBC third programme.
And some very familiar arguments too. BBC Director General Sir William Hayley was speaking there, and he clearly spent the last few weeks of the war writing that very lengthy speech. In commercial radio this week in history, a few more stations were launching as the final quarter of the year loomed. It's 1974.
Radio Hallam boasts that it presents its news 5 minutes sooner.
You get the news, you get the news.
Radio Hallam's news editor is Ian Rufus.
On Radio Hallam, you'll get the news fast. Whether it's a new government in Romania or a new council in Rotherham, you'll hear about it first on Radio Hallam.
Since then, we've had about five new governments in Romania, and Rotherham is still Labour-controlled. Commercial radio arriving in Sheffield this week in 74, and that same week, something new in Wales.
Well, our policy is the same as it has always been when the company made its application to the IBA. Integration of both languages is what we're aiming at. We find this to be a reflection of the community we are serving. That is a bilingual community. Bilingualism is part of their everyday life.
We hope Swansea Sound will become part of your life, an ear to what's happening around you, but also an ear to your view of things. That's community radio.
Good morning and welcome to the first breakfast show on Swansea Sound. I'm Chris Harper and we have 3 hours to get to know each other a little better.
Commercial radio arriving in Wales this week 41 years ago. 30 years ago this week, a mighty commercial radio name was born.
More local people talking about themselves.
Right.
More community involvement. More features about sport, local history, gardening, photography.
More of their favourite music.
And more company, because even
listen,
more people...
we're talking about you on GWR. Radio 24 hours a day, every day from Tuesday, October the 1st. Listen, we're talking about you.
GWR launching this week in 85 as Wiltshire Radio and Radio West came together. There were three separate breakfast shows. Bristol presenters included Steve Orchard. A few radio goodbyes now. This week, 17 years ago, a Radio 2 farewell.
The early morning was good. I mean, I really enjoyed that time. I didn't realise until I stopped it quite how demanding it was to get up at 4 o'clock every morning, day in, day out, particularly in the winter. And, of course, the audience was wonderful. I mean, in those days, you were 15, 16, 17 million, because radios 1 and 2, for example, were together as well in the early part of the programme. But for sheer gentlemanly way of life, 5 until 7 is wonderful, because you have the whole day. Do you ever wake up in the morning and wish you were still Prime Minister?
No, I accept totally what had happened.
You see, I stroke this spoon very gently.
Can I bend my fork?
Look, if everyone could do it, then I wouldn't be here.
John Dunn, he presented his final drive time on Radio 2 this week in 98, after 22 years. And this week last year, Peter Allen waved farewell to Five Lives Drive programme.
The last thing I'd like to say, of course, is thank you to the team that's worked with me for 16 years. Doesn't sound like a funeral. I'm going to another programme. And in particular, it's been 16 great years because of you, the listener, because of your humour, because of your perception, because of your wit, because of your friendship. I genuinely feel as if there's thousands of people out there who are my mates, and I hope you continue to be my mates, and I hope you continue to listen to Five Live.
A choked Peter Allen from Five Live bidding farewell to his drive programme. 1984 now, and Kid Jensen was at the helm of a commercial radio first.
It was to be the first ever fully networked regular program that all the commercial stations would get together on and help promote. But it was exciting because nobody really took it seriously in the early days, because we were up against head-to-head the BBC Radio's flagship program on Radio 1, you know, the Top 40.
Hi there, it's David Kid Jensen here with the very first network chart show coming at you right across the nation on independent radio. Now, every Sunday afternoon from 5 till 7, I'm going to be counting up the 30 records that make up our exclusive network chart.
Kid Jensen's first network chart 31 years ago. So, with Virgin rebranding Absolute Radio 7 years ago...
We are now Absolute Radio.
Invicta and Broadland launched 31 years ago.
We feel that to produce that distinctive local flavour isn't just a question of doing local news and phone-ins.
Smooth Radio Moving House 2 years ago.
It's the kids saying goodbye from Studio A in Marylebone as Smooth Radio heads off to Leicester Square.
Dewey Griffiths hosting his last Radio Wales show this week last year.
60 years and 4 months. That'll be on my plaque in my house.
And the first Radio Times 92 years ago.
Daily Times at Big Ben Chimes are Radio Times.
Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Radio Moments!
Thank you, David Lloyd, and thanks, of course, this week to everyone at the Radio Festival, especially Gloria Abramoff, Chris Burns, Nikki Holliday and Roger Cutsforth. I think the Radio Academy is in good hands. This has been a TDC production. I'm Trevor Dan. Thanks for listening.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.